السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا، أحسن الله إليكم.
آمين وإياكم. الله
الحمد لله.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، today we will continue with our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail ibn Ibrahim Al-Bukhari rahimahullah. The book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, as we have repeatedly mentioned, is to help the Muslim understand what level of manner and good character the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, his companions and their students were upon. So when the Quran said, "Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim," regarding the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, you are a man or you are a person who is upon sound character, sound moral rectitude. This book makes us see how was the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam in his standards of character and his standards of good behavior with people and organizing the community upon which his companions were radiallahu anhum and those who came after them. So this book, Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, is a book that is specifically compiled for that reason. We had started the discourses about our parents, about our relatives, about our children, and then now about our neighbors. The discussions that shall follow after these discussions regarding the neighbor will be discussions about the orphans. But today, towards the end of the discussions regarding our jar, we'll be reading from Hadith 124. And that Hadith occurs under the chapter heading, Shikayatul Jar. Al-Imam al-Bukhari says, Babun, aw Babu Shikayatul Jar. We can also read it and say, Babun Shikayatul Jar, or Babu Shikayatul Jar. The chapter that deals with the complaints of the neighbor. The neighbor relates with you. The neighbor, you relate with them. You speak with them. You pray in the masjid with them. You see their children. You see their animals, their domestic animals. They see your children and all of these. And then perhaps the neighbor becomes difficult. And then you begin to tolerate the difficulty, the bad character of the neighbor. These days, the kinds of harm or hurt that neighbors bring to their neighbors are of various kinds. One of it is the disturbance with noise. These days, neighbors disturb their neighbors with noise. Neighbors disturb their neighbors with fumes from generating sex and all other things. Neighbors disturb their neighbors with so many other things that we know in our community. And we read in the last chapter that it is prohibited for the Muslim to be a means of hurt and harm to the neighbor. So when, like Al-Imam Hassan al-Basri said, that laysa husnul jiwar kaful adha. Laysa husnul jiwar kaful adha. Not to cause harm to your neighbor is not the A all and the Z all about neighborliness. It's not just about that. It's walakin husnul jiwar ihtimalul adha. Husnul jiwar ihtimalul adha. He says the best, the way to keep good neighborliness is ihtimalul adha. tolerating, managing the hurt that your neighbor causes you. But you know, we are human beings. Sometimes the hurt comes, you manage, and it becomes as if the neighbor knows no more than directing harm to the rest of the people in the neighborhood. He's just all about directing harm. He had been tolerated. Perhaps he had even been advised. He had been talked to change his attitude and all of this. So how do you handle difficult neighbors? You have tolerated them and they still continue upon directing hurt to their neighbors. How do we handle difficult neighbors? That has come under this chapter. We can complain to constituted authority. Shikayatuljar, the complaint of the neighbor to constituted authority or to the elders in the community. You can say the constituted authority or the elders in the community or the leaders of the Muslims in the community. So a neighbor can report his neighbor to constituted authority. In our own situation, we have the police and other supervising agencies depending on the infraction. We can report a matter to the police. So nobody should say, is it part of Islam to report your neighbor to the police? Yes, the neighbor could be so harmful in the community, so criminal in his activities and devilish so much that he may be reported to constituted authority. Nobody should say, oh, but Islam says we should be nice to the neighbor. Let's read what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding those kinds of neighbors who become so difficult against the rest of the people in the community. They can be reported to constituted authority. They can be reported to the leaders of the community. In some communities, you have heads of communities. In the north, you have Meangwa. You can report your immediate neighbor to Meangwa. Meangwa is a community head. You can report the neighbor to Meangwa. Is this part of Islam? Yes. How do we know it? We'll read the hadith here in Al-Adab al-Mufrad today, inshallah. You can report your neighbor to the imam of the masjid. Don't forget, one of the things that connects the neighbors in the neighborhood is what? Masjid. So you can report your neighbor to the imam of the masjid. Nobody should go and then begin to say, but Islam says you should be nice to your neighbor, you should be this with your neighbor. You can report infractions or directed to you that you have been managing with your neighbor. You can report such things to constituted authority or the community head or the head of the Muslims in the community. That is why Al-Imam al-Bukhari has brought this chapter heading, Shikayatul Jar, the complaints of a neighbor regarding his neighbor. May Allah protect us all. That will come under the hadith number 124 in our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. And in it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, حَدَّثَنَا عَلِيُّ إِبْنَ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا صَفْوَانِ إِبْنَ عِيسَى قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا مُحَمَّدِ إِبْنَ عَجْلَانِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا أَبِي عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رضي الله عنه قال رجل يا رسول الله إِنَّ لِي جَارًا يُؤْذِينِي فقال انطلق فأخرج متاءك إلى الطريق فانطلق فأخرج متاءه. If you have this copy by مكتبة الهدي المحمدي, I think that's a typographic error. مكتبة الهدي المحمدي, I think that's a typographic error. So he says فانطلق فأخرج متاءه فاجتمع الناس عليه فقالوا ما شأنك؟ فقالوا ما شأنك؟ قال لي جار يؤذيني. فذكرت للنبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقال انطلق فأخرج متاءك إلى الطريق. فجعلوا يقولون اللهم لعنه اللهم أخذه. فبلغه فأتاه فقال ارجع إلى منزلك فوالله لا أوذيك. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا علي بن عبد الله قال حدثنا صفوان بن عيسى قال حدثنا محمد بن عجلان قال حدثنا أبي عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رجل يا رسول الله إن لي جارا يؤذيني فقال انطلق فأخرج متاعك إلى الطريق فانطلق فأخرج متاعه فاجتمع الناس عليه فقالوا ما شأنك؟ قال لي جار يؤذيني. فذكرت للنبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقال انطلق فأخرج متاعك إلى الطريق. فجعلوا يقولون اللهم لعنه اللهم أخذه. فبلغه فأتاه فقال ارجع إلى منزلك فوالله لا أخذيك. الإمام البخاري has reported this hadith from one of his biggest teachers, الإمام علي بن عبد الله علي بن عبد الله أبو الحسن ابن المديني. He is علي بن عبد الله ابن جعفر ابن المديني. So علي بن عبد الله in this hadith is الإمام علي بن المديني. He is popularly known as علي ابن المديني. He is علي ابن عبد الله and his kunya is أبو الحسن. He's popularly known as Al-Ibn al-Madini, rahimahullah, one of the biggest scholars of hadith. Al-Imam Ibn al-Madini was the one who encouraged the class in which Al-Imam al-Bukhari was. Ali Ibn al-Madini encouraged a halqa that had Al-Imam al-Bukhari in it. He encouraged that halqa that could we have someone who can compile a hadith that are just authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam and arrange it according to the abwab of fiqh, according to the sections and chapters on fiqh. Can we have somebody do that? And Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Allah placed it in my heart that I will do it. That gave birth to the book we now have as Sahih al-Bukhari. So Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Madini was one of the biggest teachers who ever taught Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah. And Al-Imam Al-Bukhari is well known for that statement that Mastasgartu nafsi illa inda Ali ibn al-Madini. Mastasgartu nafsi. I do not attend a class. Wastasgiru nafsi. And then I will consider myself small in that class. Illa inda Ali ibn al-Madini. Except when I sit in front of Ali ibn al-Madini. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, Muhammad ibn Ismail, he says, rahimahullah, when he sits in the class of Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Madini, he considers himself small. You know, when a student sits in front of the teacher and thinks that he is small, it means that he considers the teacher to be so widely and vastly knowledgeable. And so was Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Madini, rahimahullah. Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Madini was so knowledgeable that even Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, who was in his time, he would always avoid to mention him by his name. Al-Imam Abu Hatim al-Razi, rahimahullah, Muhammad ibn Idris, we know Tafsir ibn Abi Hatim. Tafsir ibn Abi Hatim is one of the biggest books of Tafsir. And it was written by Abdurrahman ibn Abi Hatim. His father is Muhammad ibn Idris, Abu Hatim. He is one of the biggest scholars of Islam too, amongst the scholars of Hadith. He would say that Kana Aliyu Alaman Finnas. He says Ali ibn al-Madini Alaman Finnas. He was a well-known leading scholar amongst the people, fi ma'rifatil hadith wal-ilam. In terms of understanding a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam and knowing which hadith is sahih which hadith is not sahih amongst the scholars of Islam, he was also vast, rahimahullah, in determining, in finding out hidden errors that are in the reports of narrators of hadith. Rahimahullah. Abu Hatim said, وَكَانَ أَحْمَدْ لَا يُسَمِّيهِ. Al-Imam Ahmad would not call his name. He would not say Ali, for example. لَا يُسَمِّيهِ إِنَّمَا يَكْنِيهِ تَبْجِيلًا لَهُ. إِنَّمَا يَكْنِيهِ. He would only mention his kunya, تَبْجِيلًا لَهُ, by way of respecting and showing esteem for him. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal would not refer to Ali bin Madini and say Sheikh Ali. No, Ali, no. He would rather say Abul Hassan, tabjilan lahu, by way of showing respect for him. So there, brother, when you are called Abu Fulan, Abu Ukasha, Abu Aisha, Abu Ibrahim, Abu Muhammad, it is from the aspects of respect for that person that we refer to with the kunya. The kunya is one of the means of showing respect. So Imam Ahmad would not refer to Ali ibn al-Madini as Ali. He would rather refer to him as what? Abu al-Hasan. Tabjilan lahu. By way of showing respect for him. وَمَا سَمِيتُ أَحْمَدَ سَمَّاهُ قَبْ. I never heard Imam Ahmad mention his name once. Abu Hatim al-Razi, he said, I never heard Ahmad ibn Hanbal mentioning Ali by his name. He would rather mention him by his kunya, rahimahumullah. Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Madini was the one from whom al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, has reported this hadith. He said, Haddathana Safwan ibn Isa, that is Safwan ibn Isa al-Qassam. Safwan ibn Isa al-Qassam, qala haddathana Muhammad ibn Ajlan. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Ajlan was also one of the biggest scholars of hadith. The scholars refer to him as they know he was well known with good worship. Kana abidan nasika. Muhammad ibn Ajlan, kana abidan nasika. He was well known for sound worship and taking his religious duties to be very serious. Rahimahullah. Wa kana lahu halqatun fi masjid al-Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And al-Imam Muhammad ibn Ajlan was a person who had a halqa in the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. If it is a big sin of honor, in these our own times when knowledge has come down, to be a teacher in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what level of honor will it be in the past years and the level of asba'u tabi'in to be a teacher inside the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That's why if we have a scholar who did that, it is worthy of mention for him. This is one of the biggest fadl of Allah upon Al-Imam Malik. Imam Malik, rahimahullah, was one of the teachers in the Prophet's masjid in Medina. We would not mention the virtues of Imam Malik if we don't mention that he was a teacher in the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. Yesterday, we read the hadith of his teacher, Zayd ibn Aslam. We mentioned that Zayd ibn Aslam had a seat in the Prophet's masjid during that time. He was a tabi'i. His sheikhs were people like Ibn Umar and Anas ibn Malik. And he had a seat in the Prophet's masjid to teach Quran. That was Zayd ibn Aslam, rahimahullah. The same thing with Muhammad ibn Ashdad. He was one of those who had a seat to teach knowledge in the Prophet's masjid during the time of the tabi'un and asba'u tabi'i, rahimahullah. This will show to us that these people were from great people amongst the people of their knowledge. But don't forget, as much as we have described the knowledge of Muhammad ibn Ajlan, he was also well known with worship. In the past, there used not to be a disconnection between the knowledge of an individual and his devotion to worship. It is in our own times where we'll find a disparity between the person being knowledgeable and then being worshipful. It's something that the early Muslims used to combine. Their knowledge was a motivation for them to, for devotion unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah forgive us all. Muhammad ibn Ajlan reported this hadith from his father. His father was Ajlan, Mawla Fatima bint Utba. Ajlan, Mawla Fatima bint Ritsa. Ajlan, the father of Muhammad ibn Ajlan, was a freed slave of the woman Fatima bint Ritsa. It was Ajlan, the father of Muhammad, who has reported this hadith from Abu Huraira, radiyallahu anhu, hafizul ummah. Abu Huraira said, radiyallahu anhu, qala rajulun ya Rasulallah, inna li jaran yu'zini. Abu Huraira said, qala rajulun, one man said, and this man has not been mentioned. He says, qala rajulun ya Rasulallah. A man asked the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, messenger of Allah, inna li jaran yu'zini. Inna li jaran yu'zini. Messenger of Allah, I have a neighbor yu'zini who causes me harm. This means that it was not that the harm was caused by the neighbor to this man on one occasion. Yu'zini is used, it causes, it is something that he will do. He continuously caused me harm. Continuously causing harm to someone can make him do special. He could have tolerated the harm that is directed to him, as we said, that husnul jiwar ihtimalul adha. Husnul jiwar, good neighborliness is to be able to cope with the difficulties that you get from your neighbor. But as this companion mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the harm that his neighbor caused him was something that was continuous. So he said, ya Rasulallah, messenger of Allah, inna li jaran yu'zini. I have a neighbor that causes harm to me. This is the clear cut evidence that a neighbor who is repeatedly caused harm by his neighbor could report that neighbor who causes him harm, could report that neighbor to constituted authority. This is clear cut evidence that when a neighbor becomes harmful to his neighbor, it could be reported to constituted authority. How did we find that? That neighbor who was repeatedly caused harm came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, ya Rasulallah, inna li jaran yu'zini. I have a neighbor who repeatedly causes me harm. And for example, in the cases where such constituted authority requires more explanations regarding the harm, such explanations could be given. That they are not clearly mentioned in this report does not mean that he did not, for example, explain the harm or the hurt that the neighbor was causing him, radiyallahu anhu. فَقَالَ, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, انطلق فأخرج متاعك إلى الطريق. انطلق, go on, proceed. فأخرج متاعك إلى الطريق. Get your things at home. Get your property at home. Your beddings, your chairs, your rugs, your things at home, your plates, your cooking utensils. Get them to the streets. This is a judgment from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam and an advice for that individual. But we could ask a question here. Why was it that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said this, gave this judgment, or gave this advice without listening to the other neighbor, inviting the other neighbor to ask what has happened? The scholars have given two explanations for this. The first explanation is that it was possible that the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was already aware of that harm that the first neighbor has been causing to this man. He was already aware. So it does not require further investigation. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, could have been aware that the neighbor was causing his neighbor harm. So being aware, having known properly that, yes, this neighbor has been causing his neighbor harm for over a long time, and the neighbor had been managing and trying to cope with the harm and hurt that is directed to him, that may not have necessitated that he calls the other person to ask Is it true that you are causing harm? Otherwise, the basic rule about when two people have a dispute, when somebody comes to say someone is unfair to me in such a manner to constitute authority, the position of the second person should also be heard. We remember the story of Nabi Dawood in Surah As-Sad. What did he say? وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ نَبَأُ الْخَصْمِ إِذْ تَصَوَّرُوا الْمِحْرَابَ إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَى دَاوُودَ فَفَزِعَ مِنْهُمْ قَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ خَصْمَانِ. Allah said, did you get the story of Dawood? When تَصَوَّرُوا الْمِحْرَابَ, they climbed over the fence of the place of worship where Dawood alayhi salam used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَى دَاوُودَ, they came in front of Dawood. They didn't even go past the door and security. They climbed the fence because of the trouble and the fitna that had happened between the two of them, two brothers, two men. They climbed the fence of Dawood into the presence of Dawood in the place where he was used to worshiping Allah. إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَى دَاوُودَ فَفَزِعَ مِنْهُ. He was scared. How could you have come into your leader, your ruler like that? قَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ. They said to him, don't be afraid. We have not come here to hurt you. بَغَى بَعْضُنَا عَلَى بَعْضٍ. One of us was aggressive against the other, was oppressing the other. فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَنَا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا تُشْطِطْ. Judge between us upon the truth. Don't be unfair. وَهَدِنَا إِلَى سَوَاءِ الصِّرَاطِ. Guide us to the path that is safe, that is straight, that is right. إِنَّ هَذَا أَخِي لَهُ تِسْعٌ وَتِسْعُونَ نَعْجَةً وَلِيَ نَعْجَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ فَقَالَ أَكْفِلْنِيهَا وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ. This my brother has 99 ewes or 99 sheep. Let's say that, 99 sheep. وَلِيَ نَعْجَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ, I only have one. فَقَالَ أَكْفِلْنِيهَا, the one who had 99 told me, bring your one. وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ, he surpassed me in the argument. Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam was to have heard the second person, but he did not. After hearing the first person, you have 99 sheep, and you still took one from the other person who had only one. قَالَ لَقَدِ ظَلَمَكَ بِسُؤَالِ نَعْجَتِكَ إِلَى نِعَاجِهِ. He had been unfair to you by compelling you to bring and asking you to bring your one sheep to add to his 99. وَإِنَّ كَفِيرًا مِنَ الْخُلَطَ, many of those who have dealings with themselves, لَيَبُغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, they become unfair to themselves except those who believe and do good deeds. Dawood said, وَقَلِيلٌ مَّهُمْ, and people who will not be unfair to themselves in their dealings, they are few. وَظَنَّ دَاوُودُ, after that Dawood alayhi salam realized that أَنَّمَا فَتَّنَّاهُ, that what he had done was a fitna, was a trial to him. فَاسْتَغْفَرَ رَبَّهُ, he sought forgiveness from Allah. What was the thing that he did that was wrong? He would have heard the second person. So the basic thing about adjudication between two people is that you hear both parties. You don't say, I'm sure that this person could not have lied. These kinds of things do not come in adjudication. You listen to both parties. You are not, by listening to the second party, saying that the first party told a lie. It does not, but you are going to have to be judging, advising between two persons. You should listen to both parties. That was why in the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib, it was reported that he narrated this hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that إِذَا تَقَضَى إِلَيْكَ رَجُلًا, when two persons come to you to seek judgment, فَلَا تَقْضِي لِلْأَوَّلِ حَتَّى تَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ الْآخَرِ, do not judge for the first person until you have listened to the discussion, the complaint from the second person. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do that in this case. The ulama say perhaps he was already aware of the condition of that first person, that he was used to causing harm to his neighbor. That was why he did not ask him, bring your neighbor, let him narrate his whole part of the story. So this should not be evidence that when the constituted authority wants to judge, or you are an imam in the community, or you are a village head or community head, you don't need to listen to the second person. You need to listen to the second person. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have received revelation or was completely aware of the truth of the situation, that the other neighbor was actually causing harm to his neighbor. So the Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in talik fa akhrij mata'aka ila tariq, go and bring your belongings to the street. That was the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second explanations the ulama give regarding the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say this is probably a waqi'atul ayn, something that just happened like that. La umumala. It may not be applicable in all other circumstances. Otherwise, the basic rule about adjudication is that you must listen to both parties. This would have happened just like that. Something, it just happened like that. Or that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was already aware of the circumstances. So that was why he did that. So he told the man, take your property to the streets. In talik, fa'akhrij mata'aka ila tariq. Go and bring your properties out. So the man went out and he packed out his belongings. Radiallahu anhu. Fantalaqa. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu continued and said, fantalaqa. The man went, fa'akhraja mata'ahu, and then he brought his things to the streets. Fajtama'a an-nasu alayhi. At that, the people gathered at him. How would a man bring his bedding to the street, his cooking pot to the street, his chairs at his homes? And there were some companions who had chairs and sofas that they sat on. They had pillows, they had beddings. He brought them to the street. So when people passed by, it was so natural that they would ask, what happened? Why have you brought your belongings outside? This is not the normal thing to do. In a community, you can't bring your beddings in. That would have meant perhaps his household, his wife, and children, everybody were outside. Upon the instructions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the scholars say this is evidence that sometimes the adjudication, issues of trouble, problems between a neighbor, as we had mentioned earlier, and the other neighbor, may become an issue of public consumption. But that will not be in the absence of the instructions of a constituted authority. So don't say, oh, you brought your neighbor to public. The neighbor may be brought into public when constituted authority becomes involved, when the leaders of the community become involved, when the leaders of the mosque, like the imams and the elders in the masjid, become involved, the matter can go public. The steps to be taken may be steps that will bring the case to public attention. That is between a neighbor and the other neighbor. The fact that we should be nice to the neighbor does not preclude that in certain circumstances, the troubles between the neighbors, when the neighbor becomes repeatedly harmful to his neighbor, may become a public matter upon the involvement of the leaders of the community and upon the advice of the heads of the community. So the people gathered at him. فَاجْتَمَعَ النَّاسُ عَلَيْهِ فَقَالُوا مَا شَأْنُكَ. The people started asking him, oh, Mr. Man, what is the matter with you? Why have you brought your burdens, your clothes, your shoes, your belongings at home? Why did you bring them outside on the street? Qala, the man answered them and said, Li jarun yu'dini. I have a neighbor that causes me harm, meaning that the reason why I have done this, and this is not a normal thing to do, it's not a normal thing to do at all. But the reason why I have done it is that I have a neighbor, yu'dini, who regularly causes me harm. I have a neighbor who regularly causes me harm. فَذَكَرْتُ لِلنَّبِيِّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I reported the case to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is further evidence that these kinds of steps with our neighbor should involve constituted authority. you will see this man is giving evidence for his action that what I have done, you may consider it abnormal, but I am doing it upon the instruction of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Faqala, when I told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to me in public, فَأَخْرِجْ مَتَعَكَ إِلَى الطَّرِيقِ. It was the Prophet who told me to go and bring my belongings to the street. So you can see he's giving evidence with who? With constituted authority. He's giving evidence with the head of the community that I have not just done what I have done. I have done it because the head of the community has ordered me to do so. Let me mention here, a young brother recently did something between a man and his wife. He came in between a man and his wife, and he was telling that man that, look, I'm going to report this case to the whole world on the social media. The man was telling him, look, this is a childish issue. You would understand now that the case did not come into the public until it became an issue that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, go to the public. And when he was asked, why did you bring these kinds of things to the public? He gave evidence that I am doing so because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me to come to the public. So merely trying to educate between a man and a wife, his wife, does not mean bring such matters to social media. It is not from hikmah, it is not from fiqh. Something happens between one man and his wife. They thought that you are reasonable and they brought the matter to you. The next thing is that you are suggesting that let's take the matter to social media. Have you reported to constituted authority? And that's why you will never find any case, any matrimonial case amongst the companions and amongst those who came after them being taken to the public. They take them to courts. A man has an issue with his wife. Go to courts. Go to the imam in the community. Go to the respected people in the community. Go to Meangwa. Don't take your marital affairs to social media. And we know the kind of embarrassment that we have suffered, people have suffered when cases, home matters, home cases are brought in the public. So it is not from hikmah at all. People will think, oh, this is from, it's not from hikmah. And this hadith is not evidence for that. When two brothers disagree amongst themselves, don't go to social media, go to constituted authority. And do what the constituted authority says you should do. When this man was asked, why have you brought this matter to public? What did he say? I reported the case to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was the Prophet who told me to do what I have done. That is part of the fiqh of this hadith. So anyone who has fiqh will not remove this part of it and take the other part that the man went to the public. He didn't just go to the public. He went to public upon the instruction of who constituted the authority. So the man said, ذَكَرْتُ لِلنَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I mentioned the matter to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَالَ إِنْ طَلِكِ. The Prophet then said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bring your property to the public. فَجَعَلُوا يَقُولُونَ. So the people who were asking him, why have you brought your property to public? Why have you brought your belongings to the public? He started saying, these people who asked this man, and the man told them that I reported the case to the messenger. It was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam who asked me to bring my property to the public. The people started saying that, Allahumma al-anhu, Allahumma al-anhu, oh Allah, curse that neighbor. Allahumma al-anhu, oh Allah, curse that neighbor. Allahumma akhzihi, oh Allah, disgrace that neighbor. Fabalagahu. The news of what the people were saying got to that man at home. فَأَتَاهُ فَقَالَ. He quickly went to that man on the street and said, اِرْجِعِ إِلَى مَنْزِلِكِ. Please, pack your belongings back to your home. فَوَاللَّهِ. I swear by Allah, لَا أُذِيكَ. I will never cause harm to you again. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam advised the man, take your belongings to the street. So when the people came to start asking, why have you brought your belongings to the street? He said, I reported the case to the messenger, and the messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, I should take my belongings to the street. So now I have done so. I'm waiting for the next thing. So the people started saying, Allahumma al-anhu, oh Allah, curse that man. Allahumma akhzihi. Oh Allah, disgrace him. Why are they saying that he should be cursed? Al-la'an, or al-la'anatu, is that a person is removed from the mercy of Allah. That man has not been merciful to his neighbor. The man who was causing harm to the neighbor has not been merciful to the neighbor. So the dua regarding what he has done is being said to him too. Allahumma akhzihi. Oh Allah, disgrace him. What he has done has brought disgrace to his neighbor. How? The neighbor had to pack his belongings to the public. The means of disgrace. So that was mentioned for him too. He too should get the like of what he has done to his neighbor. When he heard that, he quickly rushed to tell the man that, please come back home. I will not hurt you again. There's another issue here amongst the ulama. Is this not evidence that a specific person may be cursed because of a particular evil action that he commits or he has committed? This man caused harm to his neighbor, and the neighbor brought public his belongings. And the people started saying, Allahumma al-anhu, Allahumma akhzihi. The position of some of the scholars of Sunnah regarding this matter is that someone could be harmful to you or could behave in such a way that he is deserving to be cursed. Someone could behave in such a way that he is deserving to be cursed, like the neighbor in this narration. That if such persons who are deserving to be cursed are cursed, it is allowed. If such persons who behave in a manner that they can be cursed, if in the end of the day they are cursed, such curses are allowed. Allowed, jaiz. That it is jaiz for people who behave, individual persons, who behave in such a way that it's so bad in the community. How do you behave like this? And then they happen to be cursed. It is allowed that they are cursed. It is allowed that they are abused. It is allowed that negative statements are passed regarding them. It is allowed. And they gave a lot of evidences to support that. One of the verses, one of the evidences they give, and among those who have this opinion, the Khalifa Muhammad Nasir, he mentioned this in his book, Al-Ihtijaj bil-Qadr. Al-Ihtijaj bil-Qadr is a book written by Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. And Imam al-Albani rahimahullah did a tahqiq of that book, Al-Ihtijaj bil-Qadr. Some people give evidence that Qadr makes them to behave badly. So it's a refutation against those people. While doing the tahqiq, the checking and editing of the book, Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah explained this matter under this chapter. Some people may be cursed. He said it is allowed. He said, rahimahullah, let me read it to us. وَبِالْجُمْلَةِ فَلَعْنُ الْمُعَيَّنِ تَأْدِيبًا لَهُ وَزَجْرًا لِغَيْرِهِ أَنْ يَفْعَلَ فِعْلَهُ مِمْ says, rahimahullah, to curse someone specifically, an individual who is particularly known, تَأْدِيبًا لَهُ, by way of cautioning him against what he has done, وَزَجْرًا لِغَيْرِهِ, and warning against anyone who will like to behave like him. He said, this is allowed. Who will like to behave like him? He said, Mimma la dalila ala al-Badri. There is no proof to say that it is prohibited. He says, Rahimahullah, La'anul mu'ayyan, ta'adiban lahu. To directly cause one individual, ta'adiban lahu. I will come back to explain other matters regarding this issue, inshallah. It says, La'anul al-mu'ayyan, to curse a particular person who did something so bad, deserving that he may be reprimanded. It says, Zajran ta'adiban lahu, by way of holding him back, or by way of making him go away from what he has done, was Zajran li-ghayrihi, and by way of warning others not to do that kind of a thing too. So that they do not do the kind of action that the other person that against whom we speak evil has done. He says, There is no proof to say that that kind of a thing is wrong. Bal fi ma zakarna ma yasifu ala jawazihi. What we have mentioned shows that there are evidences to show that it is permissible. It is permissible when someone behaves like that neighbor in this hadith. Negative things may be said regarding him. You see, this is a communal thing, so in the community. No one came to say, oh no, don't curse him. It is not permissible to curse him. It's almost like a consensus of the people at the time because this hadith is sahih. And it happened in the time of the Prophet Muhammad. So one person may make a behavior that can make people begin to say negative things, pray against him regarding what he has done. In the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah mentioned people who have a knowledge of something and then they hide it. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ فِي الْكِتَابِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى. Those who hide what we have revealed, مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ, from clear-cut rulings. They hide halal and haram. They don't want people to know halal and haram. Wal huda. In the time of the Jews, when the Prophet came, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were told in their book that the Prophet was coming, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he came, they hid it. This is guidance. They hide guidance. People who hide halal and haram. They also hide good guidance from people. After we have explained the guidance and halal and haram to the people in the book, Allah says, Ulaika, these kinds of people who hide guidance, yal'anuhum Allah. Allah distances them from business. Allah curses them. Wa yal'anuhum Allah. Those who send curses also send curses to them. If you go to tafsir, they will tell you, Al Malaikatu wal Mu'minun. The angels and the believers. They are those who, when they see that someone is hiding a particular message, they say negative things regarding them. يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهِ. This shows that it is permissible for the Muslims to curse or say something negative against someone who does something that is what extremely bad. There are other examples in the Quran and in the Sunnah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also in the hadith of Abu Huraira collected by Imam Muslim, he said to us, he says, Ittaku al-la'ine, in the report of Abu Dawud, in the report of Imam Muslim in Sahih, he says, Ittaku al-la'ine, avoid two things that make the people curse people. There are two things. When you do it, people will curse you. The first one, what did he say? Alayhi salatu wasalam. At-takhalli fi turukin nas. Going to make feces on the path of the people. There's a road people pass by. You go and you make feces there. You poo-poo there on the road of the people. Or fizzlihim. Or in a place where they take a rest. There's a tree, people rest there. You go and poo-poo there. You know every person who comes there will make a curse. Who did this kind of a thing? Think this kind of a thing is a bad, this person is a bad person. This person is an evil person. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, don't do those things, because it is as if that action brought the curse to that. You see, those who curse the persons here are not blamed. They are not blamed. Those who curse these people are not blamed. Rather, the person doing something that brings the curse is blamed. Don't do that. Don't do something that will bring curse to you. May Allah protect all of us. There are other ahadith. There is a hadith of the companion رضي الله عنه عمارة بن رويبة في مسند الإمام أحمد. When he saw that on the day of Eid, the Imam was raising his hands up as we do during dua, the Imam on the day of Eid should point his finger. He is not to raise his two hands. He was to point his finger, not raise his two hands. When he saw him, what did he say? He says, لعن الله أعطيني اليديتين. May Allah curse those two small hands that you are raising up. Why are you contradicting the Sunnah? This is La'an Allah. He mentioned this expression. It occurs in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad. What we are saying is that it is permissible for a person who does a completely wicked and evil deed to be cursed by the people in the community. It deserves to be cursed. person who made his neighbor to have to pack his belongings out of the community onto the roads. This kind of a person deserves to be cursed, and he was so cursed in the community. Nobody came in the community to start saying, hey, don't curse him, don't say evil regarding him, and so on. However, cursing the people requires two things. I think they should be mentioned. The one who is cursed would really, really deserve that. May Allah protect all of us from the making of behaviors that will make the people say evil and then curse us. May Allah protect us from this evil. This is the first thing we have to say. The second thing is that you who curse the person, don't make it a regular thing. Don't make it that you are always a cursing person. Because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, laysa al-mu'min bil-la'an. The believer cannot be one la'an. You see, al-mubalaga is always cursing, cursing, cursing. Don't be that kind of a person. Don't be a person who always cursing, cursing, cursing. Don't be that. Don't be that Muslim who is always cursing. There are other reports that discourage cursing the Muslim, such as that those who curse will not make shafa'a on the day of Qiyamah. So don't be a Muslim who is always cursing, cursing. Otherwise, someone does something and that thing is quite so bad and deserves to be reprimanded in strong words, such that he himself will avoid what he has done. Like this neighbor, he quickly, when he heard those strong words, nobody told him, he went to start begging the neighbor, please come back home. So when sometimes if you say such strong words to people, it will make them go back from their evil deeds, or that it will prevent other people from doing that kind of a thing. We heard one of the scholars, this Sheikh Salih Al-Luhaydan, or one of them, he was being pictured, he was being photographed, and he told that photographer, if you don't stop that photography, that filming, you are filming me, I will curse you. Quickly, the man packed his camera. So these kinds of things, you see, when you say something that is tough against someone, it can help him, it can reprimand him and reprimand others. So when one person was told by a sheikh publicly in Saudi Arabia, if you film me, I will curse you. I don't know any man who will go direct his own camera to that same person again. The person who brought the camera to him said, quickly pack his camera. So in such a case, such strong words may be employed. But let us be sure that we are not a people who are regular, always we are cursing people, saying evil to them and all of this. That is wrong. But if it happens and a person is cursed, may Allah protect all of us. It is permissible for a person to do so. The same thing comes under this category, da'wah to al-mazloom. That's why the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, ittaqu da'wah to al-mazloom. Be careful about the cause of the person that you have oppressed, or against whom you have directed evil, or someone whose property you had usurped, or someone you had abused, or someone you had slandered. He is mazloom. You have been unfair to him in your treatment of him. The Prophet told us, alayhi salam, or you had eaten up his money. He said, be careful. Ittaqu da'wat al-mazloom. Avoid it. He has a prayer he can say against you. He says, فَإِنَّ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. There is no barrier between that supplication and Allah subhanahu. And the scholars tell us that even if it may be a kafir, the non-Muslim can give a Muslim da'wah to Allah. So don't be a zalim. That is one thing this hadith will teach us. The hadith on da'wah to Muslim will teach us not to be a zalim, to avoid zulm. And the one who is upon zulm, when he remembers that what in Mazlum, he will keep away. That man can say a dua to you that he will not miss out. And that's why Shaykh al-Islam in Afsani ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, don't be a Muslim. You wake up in the middle of the night, you are begging Allah, oh Allah, help me, oh Allah, assist me. And you had been a zalim to another person. He's cursing you in the night. Say your prayers will not be accepted. May Allah protect us. May Allah protect us. I think we can stop here because of that. But inshallah, in the subsequent classes, the second hadith is almost in the meaning of this first hadith. We treat them both, and we're preparing to come into the chapter on the matters regarding the orphans, al-aytam or al-yatim, as the case may be. come into the issues regarding them in our subsequent classes. I think we can stop here so that we can take some questions, inshallah. How about you, sir?
This question says, I have some group of neighbors who always sit around the beer parlor in the morning and in the evening. When I am passing, I always turn my face and try not to greet them. Am I doing it right?
Yes, you are doing it right. It is not lawful to greet the people who are upon a table where alcohol is drunk. This hadith means two things. At the time they are drinking it, don't greet them. Even when they are not drinking it, but that table is a table where alcohol is drunk. When they sit there, don't greet them. The hadith includes the two. Don't greet the people who are on the spot drinking alcohol. Don't greet them. Don't greet the people who are sitting on a table on which alcohol is drunk. Don't greet them too. So you are doing it right, the evening.
This one says, is it allowed for a female Muslim to attend a Christian burial, maybe neighbor?
It is not allowed. Don't attend the burial of a non-Muslim. Don't attend the burial of a non-Muslim, except if he is your father or your uncle or any such near relative or your aunt. And there is our grandmother or mother, and there is no person to take care of the corpse. You can go and take care of the corpse, but a friend, neighbor, and all of these, don't go to their funeral service. You sit down in a funeral service, and they are referring to Isa alayhi salam as Allah, directing prayer to Jesus, and doing things that contradict Islam is not proper. And the Quran says to us that la takum ala qabrihim abada. Don't stand in the places where they make funerals for non-Muslim. In fact, there are authentic ahadith that what we should be saying to the corpse of a kafir is that ubashiruki bi jahannam. I give you glad tidings if you happen to pass by it. I give you tidings that Jahannam is waiting for you. I give you pre-information that Jahannam is waiting for you. How do you say this easily when you yourself had attended that funeral? As what? So don't attend funeral of a neighbor who is a non-Muslim, except in the circumstance that we had explained. If that neighbor is your mother or your grandmother or your aunt and the like who is a non-Muslim, and you are the only person who can take care of the corpse, go and take care of the corpse. That was instruction the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam gave to Ali ibn Abi Talib regarding his father Abu Talib, who died as a non-Muslim. But other than this, it is not allowed. I hope that it is clear.
This one says, can we curse Shaitan when he is mentioned? If so, does this contradict the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam that do not curse the Shaitan?
Well, the ulama say we should not curse shaitan. We should seek refuge. All that we have been taught in the Sharia is to seek refuge from shaitan. All that we have been taught in the Sharia is to seek refuge from shaitan. So seek refuge from shaitan, and that is sufficient for you. Allahu Akbar.
This one says, are gifts different from sadaqah, and which one is better?
Sadaqah are different from hadiyah. Sadaqah, two things can come under it. Sadaqah can mean zakah, and that is obligatory. Sadaqah, in fact, when Allah told us to pay zakah in the Quran, one of the expressions he used was sadaqah. He told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, "Khudh min amwali sadaqatan isina tutahhiruhum wa tuzakkihim biha wa salli alayhim." When he talked about those who will benefit from zakah, he used the word as-sadaqah. Innama as-sadaqat lil-fuqara. The issue here is that the word sadaqah can involve zakah, that is compulsory, and it can involve sadaqah that is not compulsory. The one that's not compulsory, but the connecting factor is that it is from the rich to the poor. That's one basic thing about sadaqah. Sadaqah is from the rich to the poor. Sadaqah is from the rich to the poor. But hadiyah can come in both ways. Someone who is poor can give a gift to a rich person. And I remember giving a Coke or Pepsi to a brother who is very, very rich. We were upon Hajj. We were traveling between Makkah and Medina. We stopped by to eat food. I saw that he was not eating anything. So I felt maybe what's happened. So by way of just coming closer, I bought one can of Pepsi, 1 riyal, and I took it to him. He appreciated it so much that at Medina, he told me that he had hardly received a gift from people. And that sometimes he feels that, why do people not think about giving us gifts? Because they think that we are rich. You can give us gifts too. So this is hadiyah and not sadaqah. I hope that it is clear. Hadiyah can come from a poor, I'm not a poor person, bismillah. Hadiyah can come from someone who is rich to the one who is less rich. And it can come from the one who is less rich. It can go from both sides to the other. I said that because I don't want you to think that, the gap between us. But Allahu alam, I hope that the message is clear. Sadaqah is usually from the rich to the poor, whether that money is obligatory or recommended. But as for hadiyah, it can come from both sides. And it's not restricted to time. It's not restricted to place. I mean, hadiyah. It's not restricted to any particular time. It's not restricted to any particular place. It's not restricted to any particular person. It can be from anybody to anybody. That is hadiyah. Allahu alam.
The brother that goes about disturbing women, he claims he's a womanizer, but looking for a hijab sister to marry. Is it okay to call such a person?
If he goes around, such persons may be reported to the heads of the community. Report such persons, if it's in a school, report such persons to the heads of the Muslim community, either the heads of the students' community or the heads of the larger Muslim community, so that they are known. They could be called, warned, and cautioned before issues of cursing comes in. Well, if that kind of a person has had a dealing with a sister who taught him to be sincere, and she finds out at the end of the day that he was just joking with her and even trying to make facade with her, she, being a mazluma, can cause him. If she chooses to do that, it is allowed for her. Allahu a'lam.
What should be the correct response to those who use the hadith that the Prophet asked the companion to take his property as proof of protest?
Who is he protesting against? Is he protesting against constituted authority? The Prophet, the authority, is the one who said, go and do this. And it's not between that man and the Prophet. The Prophet just judged. It was between a man and his community. It's a far-fetched statement. I don't know the kind of fiqh, the kind of mind people will have to say that this is evidence that you can protest. The matters are far away. Even if you don't think about it, a man came to report a case to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, constituted authority, head of the Muslim community, and the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasallam. The Messenger said, do this. The man did it. And the people in the community came to, who is protesting against who? So I think he's just trying to, people who try to find evidence for things like this, they look for evidences where no evidence is. It's like trying to say that every president of the world is every president of one country is necessarily the president of another country because he's a president. Every president of our own president, Muhammadu Buhari, now is the president of America. Why? Is Buhari not president? So these are the kinds of way of bringing evidences from far away, far away, far away. May Allah protect us. It's a wrong evidencing. Allahu Allah. I think we can stop here. Yusuf. I mean. Can we stop here, Abba Yusuf? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.